morning and welcome to the ICS Live Facebook transmission. God bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray this morning that you will be truly blessed as we listen to God's word and discern what he is saying to us these days. The Bible puts it like this, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, and we are the church, his bride, his sons and daughters. So welcome. We have a great service this morning. We have Pastor David Dixon from the UK joining us, bringing God's word. So I'd like to open with a psalm, and it is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture, his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord. God bless us, and I would like to hand over now to Pastor David Dixon as he brings us the word of the Lord. God bless you, David, and God bless you as we listen.
Well, hi to everyone at ICS in Skopje. Very privileged to have this opportunity to share a little bit from God's word. And thank you, Pastor Martin and Maya, for the invitation to share in this message. For those of you who know me, you'll know I've been coming to Macedonia and Skopje for a long time, a long-term friend of Martin, and currently pastoring a church about an hour south of London called New Life Church Crawley. Let's pray before we take a look at God's word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and we pray that it will bring us some inspiration and encouragement that will help us live as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you will agree with me that at the moment the world needs a dose of hope. Whether that's to do with politics, we see so much involved in politics where it's smear campaigns and it's negative campaigning, and so often it's focused on bringing other people down. As I record this in the middle of April 2020, then we're in the middle of a lockdown in the UK and many other countries because of the COVID-19 virus, and people are finding that a challenge and need a sense of hope for practical reasons but also very spiritual ones. Not only that, we find in the medical arena that so many people are facing extra stress, extra pressure. The incidences of mental health breakdown are increasing in the UK, from all the statistics that we've been told, and also of course we see that happening around the world as well. And so into that environment, I want to bring a message of encouragement to you from the book that's been very much on my heart recently, and that's the book of 1 Peter. It focuses really on this idea of the living hope that we have, and I want to just highlight three characteristics for you that I think will help us understand the living hope that we have and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A key characteristic of the book of 1 Peter is the emphasis on hope. And so often hope gets a bad press. People say, well, I'm a realist. And they kind of have this idea that it's naive to think of someone just focusing on hope. It's almost like a big chump standing with a big broad smile, not dealing with the reality of life. But actually, cutting-edge science shows us that hope matters a lot. It matters in our brain chemistry. It matters to our health. It matters to our well-being. And you can make a big difference to your life and to others around you when you emphasize hope. One of the early church fathers said, Tertullian said, hope is patience with the lamp lit. we all need patience, probably with one another at this point if we're in lockdown, but also with the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And hope is patience with the lamp lit. And that's something that comes very strongly in the book of Peter. This idea of living hope is identified very strongly from personal experience of Peter. He describes himself as an eyewitness. And so the gospel that came not as a set of truths or doctrines primarily. It wasn't sent by courier through an angel. Peter himself makes this reference to being an eyewitness. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1, he says that he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ. History suggests that Peter himself was crucified upside down. He became a living embodiment of the sufferings of Christ. We also see in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 and 18 where he describes the transfiguration, and he says that he was an eyewitness of the transfiguration. And all of that is brought to bear in Peter's story and probably his dictation to Mark, who wrote our Gospel of Mark. And he underscores and underlies this value of the living hope. Because of that, he uses the word precious or its variation a number of times. And I'm going to put something on the screen for you now. Peter uses the word 8 times in both 1 Peter and 2 Peter to refer to 5 precious things related to our hope. Number 1, it's about a faith that's more precious than gold. Secondly, he talks about the precious blood of Christ. Thirdly, he talks about Christ, the precious and chosen cornerstone. He also talks about a gentle and quiet spirit being something that's precious to God. And 2 Peter 1 verse 4, he talks about the fact that we have great and precious promises. All of these things are great encouragement to us. This living hope is something that's very precious. And one of the things we have to really grasp hold of is the fact that this is God's work. It's God's initiative. It's something that God has done for us. And Peter brings this back time and time again. There are several references to the work of Christ throughout his book. His incarnation, his coming into humanity. His sinless life. His suffering and death. His ascension. His resurrection. His enthronement. His second coming. All of these are works of the work of Christ. And I think it's very helpful for us to remind ourselves of the hope that we have. Not because of anything that we have done. Not because of any righteousness that we have. But the hope that we have that's great and precious is because of what Christ has done for us. Let that encourage you this morning. Let that give you something that's solid, that's secure, that this is the work of God. This is part of his eternal plan that he's brought into effect in our times. So this characteristic of hope is important. There's a second key characteristic in the book of 1 Peter, and that's the practical call to holiness. He reminds them that as Gentiles, they once lived in ignorance. They didn't know the ways of God. They certainly didn't live according to the ways of God. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, he comes and he says to them, but now you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, a people that once had not received mercy, but had now received the mercy of God. And one of the implications of that is a new way of living. We're called into a new way of life. And that has to be lived out in the context of community, in the relationships that we have with one another. Holiness in the Bible is not an abstract thought. It is to be worked out in the context of real relationships. And in a moment we'll see that Peter tells us how. But so often with holiness, we have this idea that it's focused primarily on external things, or sometimes events outside of our control, or sometimes things that are applied legalistically. Maybe we think of monks or those in monasteries that are cloistered off, that are separated, and we think, well, that's the way to live a holy life. Sometimes people apply a lot of rules and regulations to their Christian living and say, well, that's how we live a holy life, if we follow these set of rules. Interestingly, in Colossians, Paul actually says that those rules of do not taste, do not touch, the external regulations that we may put on our life, don't actually bring a life of holiness, because it's to do with the heart and the relationship we have with God. The overflow of that is how we live that life in relationship to other people. How does that happen? Peter tells us how. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says this: have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Peter goes on to say, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8: above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Peter's coming to us, as John did as well, and saying that the love that we have one for the other, the unity that we are working towards and trying to keep and preserve, it's a demonstration of our discipleship. It's not abstract, it's not out there, it's actually in how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we love one another. And we're now around 4.5 weeks into this lockdown in the UK, and I find it in my own life, and I know from talking to other pastors, leaders, and other people in churches, that the pressure's on. This is where tempers may be getting a little bit frayed, where we may be a little bit harsh in our judgments of one another, where we're starting to get in one another's nerves. That's understandable. That's the reality of life. And that's why we need to love one another. We need to have that sincere love. It's a demonstration of our discipleship. Jesus puts it this way, and John records it in John 13, verse 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Not an easy thing to do, but as well as the key characteristic of hope, we also have that importance of the practical call to holiness. I think there's a third key characteristic that's helpful to us in these times, and that's a call of Peter to be faithful in times of difficulty. If you know anything of the background of the New Testament, you will understand that Peter's probably recording these words around AD 63 to 65. And if we understand history, it's probably around AD 64 that Emperor Nero is really knuckling down on his persecution of the Christians. And it's the famous time where Rome burned, and the Christians got the blame of that. And Nero is moving more and more against the church. And so this idea of suffering, this idea of difficulty, is a really important theme. Around 16 times in the book, in one form or another, Peter talks about suffering. And one of the conclusions he comes to in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, don't be surprised at the painful trials that you're suffering. There's always something strange were happening to you. Truthfully, as a pastor and a leader over many years, it's one of the things I've seen that has shipwrecked people's faith. Their Christian life may enter some difficult periods. Marriages may enter some difficult periods. Their faith may come under some crisis. Maybe a job hasn't worked out. Maybe a business has failed. Maybe we begin to see financial pressures, pressures in our families. All of these areas of suffering, and on top of that, maybe our faith is being challenged by those around us. Into those circumstances, even Jesus warns us in the parable of the sower, which is really the parable of the soil. He says, don't let life's worries, don't let life's concerns eat away at your soul, eat away at the things that will actually take you away from godliness. And so in the book of 1 Peter, we see that he develops this whole theology of suffering. He develops this teaching of suffering because it's so important that we understand and have a good basis when difficulties come. And I'll put a number of references on the screen for you now, which you can look at. This is Peter's theology of suffering. He says, if you're going to suffer, make sure it's suffering for righteousness, because that's part of the call of the believer's life. Suffering is to be patiently endured without retaliation. And of course, we know that Jesus himself gives that example. Suffering patiently does not count for anything if it's for doing wrong in the first place. Fourthly, suffering identifies us with Christ, who suffered for us. Fifthly, suffering verifies our faith and will lead to certain glory. So suffering, in Peter's perspective, must be seen from that eternal perspective. We know that Paul himself says that these light and momentary troubles are working for us an eternal glory. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Suffering is part of the nature of Christianity. Number 7, suffering should not consume us because we have better things to look forward to. Number 9, because of all of this, we can actually rejoice in suffering. It may seem strange to say that we can actually rejoice in these times of difficulty. But this is where we need to be planted in the hope of our calling. That helmet of salvation, which is the hope of our salvation. It's not governed by banks or by government or lockdowns. God is not chained. In fact, that's how the book of Acts finishes, that the word of God goes forward with boldness and without hindrance. God's work is not diminished and it's not finished. In fact, pastors around the world are seeing that more people are engaging, more people are interested, more people are asking questions during this time of pandemic. So we have reason to be hopeful. We have reasons to endure. We have reasons to be faithful in times of difficulty. When our faith is tested, what can we be sure of? Firstly, we can be sure that God is present in our troubles. I know at times it feels that he's absent, but we have the assurance of Scripture in verses like Psalm 46, that God is an ever-present help in trouble. In fact, that's the only consistent promise of Scripture. Not that we will have an easy life, not that we will be problem-free, not that we will ever not experience difficulty. I'm afraid that's more akin to Disney than biblical Christianity. No, we're not promised freedom from troubles, but we are promised that God is present in our troubles. Jesus himself said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So God is present in our troubles. Secondly, we can say that God has a purpose through it. The verse that we mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, that our light and momentary troubles are working for us an eternal glory. I know at times it may feel as if God's trying to kill us. Certainly that's what the Egyptians felt when they're backed up against the Red Sea and they see the Egyptians coming to kill them after the freedom they gained from Egypt. But God wasn't trying to kill them. He was trying to show them his power and his might, and he made a way through the wilderness. God is able to make a way through for us. Even in difficulty, even in pressure, to fit his eternal plans and purposes so that everyone can get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul reflects in Timothy. He said, everyone deserted me, everyone left me. And you may feel isolated, you may feel alone at this point because of practical reasons and lockdown. But Paul considers his experience. And he says, but the Lord stood at my side so that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed. If you're struggling with your purpose, if you're struggling with not being able to do the things that you maybe used to do until recently, God still has a purpose for you. And it's through you and through me that the gospel might be fully proclaimed. So as we consider the things that we've looked at this morning, I think we have a lot of reason for hope. That's one of the key characteristics of the book of Peter. we have an emphasis on hope. Paul says in Romans 15:13 that we can overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in an abstract way, but in a real way because of the precious work of Christ and the work He has done and will continue to do until He comes again. Second reason is that practical call to holiness that's worked out in relationships, everyday relationships with those around us. We need to have that deep, sincere love that is without hypocrisy, because that's what sincerity means in Bible terms. And the third thing is the key characteristic is that faithfulness in times of difficulty, in times of suffering, in times of opposition. Whatever it is you're facing, God is present in our troubles and God has a purpose through it. And so as we conclude our short time together, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. It's one that Peter asks of all of us and is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 2 to 3, it's on your screen now. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into an experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have experienced His mercy. You have experienced His goodness. You have experienced His kindness. And God's challenge and God's encouragement that comes to us through the Apostle Peter is to have that hunger and that desire that we nourish ourselves inwardly. Those of you who have children at home at present, you will probably notice one of the things is they're constantly saying, "I'm hungry, can I have something to eat?" When they're home, when they're maybe a little bit bored, when they're maybe around you a lot more, they want to eat more. Do you know what? That's maybe a good example for us. That we have that hunger. That we have that desire to be nourished by God's Word. So can I encourage you not to give up. Not to lose hope. But to keep pressing in to God's purpose and His plan for your life. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us today. Let's pray as we finish our time together. Father, we thank you for the realism and the honesty of Peter. He does say there will be times of difficulty. He does say there will be times of pressure. He does say there will be times of opposition. But we stand fast on the fact that we have a great hope in the midst of that. And that hope is not about what we can do, the energy that we expend. It's about what you have done for us, even from eternity, even through the work of Christ, and what you will do through us when Jesus Christ comes again. Help us to be people who express our life of serving you most fully in love. We pray your blessing on the work and the ministry of the leaders of ICS. We pray that they will continue to share the good news of new life in Jesus Christ. Bless you guys. Have a great week. Keep serving God to the best of your ability.
Thank you, Pastor David, for that wonderful, encouraging message about Jesus Christ, who is our living hope. So thank you for your time and your commitment to ICS. And God willing, we look forward to seeing you in person once this pandemic is over. So I also would like to pray. So let us pray. Almighty God, Abba Father, Daddy, we live in a fickle world, a world that is ever changing, in a society that has almost rejected your word. I thank you that even in a world that doesn't recognize you, that you are never changing, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are a God who knows the end from the beginning, because you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the God that holds the universe in the palm of your hand. I pray that you would continue to develop us to have a steadfast trust and hope in you, Jesus Christ. And I thank you that we are in Christ because we've already received the gift of eternal life through grace and in faith in our Lord Jesus. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that now we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with a great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance that is kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of any change or decay. And through our faith, God is protecting us by his power until we fully receive this salvation that will be revealed in the last days, and everybody will see and witness that. We can be sure in our hope because our hope is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms, far above powers and principalities. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower us with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him, that our roots will grow down into God's love and to be strong. And may we have the power to understand with all of God's people how wide, how high, and how long, and how deep that this love is. That may we experience the full love of Christ, though it is too great for us to fully comprehend. But we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all the glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or even imagine. So we pray today for Macedonia and all the nations represented at ICS and all the nations represented that are listening to this stream, that are affected by this COVID-19. Firstly, we pray for us who are only merely inconvenienced. Let us remember those that are sick, those who are vulnerable, those that are old, and those that are frail. We pray for your care and healing. We pray that you will heal those who are lives on the line to care for the sick. In your great mercy, please provide a cure for this pandemic, and we pray that that would happen sooner than later, because we ask all of this in your glorious name, Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, I pray that you were truly blessed today, listening to the sermon and joining us as we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that he won for us on the cross of Calvary. And I pray that you would have a really good week, that you would be able to encourage and bless somebody with a phone call, a text, a Zoom, a meeting, or even in person with social distancing. I pray that you would be blessed this week and really have a great time in the Lord. And despite all the uncertainty, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ that is secure and steadfast, and in that we can rest in total peace. I'd like to close this service with a benediction. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives us, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankful hearts. And whatever we do and say, we do it as a representative and ambassador of our Lord Jesus Christ, always giving thanks to him through God the Father. God bless you. May you have a wonderful week. Amen.